memory. It's not just seniors who struggle with this, right? Some less than seniors get into a room and they're asking the question, why am I in this room? I forgot why I entered. Patty, my dear wife, laughs at me that all my reminders are on my phone. I have to put everything on my phone, otherwise I will forget. Reminders. Look at this passage in Exodus 13. Put it up on the screen for me, Ryan. That'd be great. Exodus 13, verse 3. God knows how important it is to remember important events in our lives. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day. This day when I led you out of Egypt, the Passover, all that happened, the death of the oldest child in the homes and in cattle as well. Remember this day. Don't ever forget this day in which you came out from Egypt and out from the house of slavery. For by a strong hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. And remember this by celebrating the Passover supper and the feast of unleavened bread. Do it every single year to remember this is a very critical and important day. God knows we forget, and we need to be reminded. I don't have the passage in front of you on the screen, but Numbers 15, verses 37 to 41, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to put tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their entire generations, from generation to generation. Can you imagine that? So they have these robes, and robes are, you know, the normal kind of clothing in that land among the Gentiles and the Jews. But the Jews have to wear tassels on the edge of their robes, and there have to be colorful tassels. Put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. Why did God make them do that? It says right here in Numbers chapter 15, it shall be a tassel for you to look at every single day when you put on your clothes and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. Wow, what a strong word that is. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. And those tassels will remind you day after day, don't forget who I am and what I did for you. We all wear wedding rings, those of us who are married, right? Constant, daily reminder. You're married. You're faithful to the one you're married. We need reminders. Number two, we forget the good and remember the bad, don't we? Isn't that a sad thing that sin does to us? We forget the good and we remember the bad. You know, the adage is, it takes 10 compliments, right, to outdo one criticism. Why? You remember that criticism. That criticism hits you right to the heart, and it just doesn't go out of your mind. And those 10 compliments you got before that, they're all gone. They're all gone. That's the way sin works in our minds. Each one of those compliments was just as valid as one criticism, but which one stays in our minds? We forget the good, and we remember the bad. And so we need to compensate. We need to continually focus on what God has given to us as wonderful promises. You know how it works? You see a person who said an unkind word to you 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they said an unkind thing, and there you are in Walmart, and all of a sudden you see them in the aisle over, and all of that floods back, right? All of it comes back. We forget the good, and we remember the bad. That's sin. It's what sin does. Number three, we think we're okay. We think we're okay as long as something is recorded in our memory. As long as it's there, as long as we kind of put it there, as long as we passed a test, kind of how we did it back in high school and college, we crammed for the test, we did okay, we got an A or a B on the test, and then as soon as the test is over, we deleted whatever we needed because, oh, we know it, we know it, we know it. No, you don't. You don't. You don't know it. You haven't applied it. Romans 8:1. What does Romans 8:1 say? What does it say? Someone say it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. You're not guilty. Not ever. And so when you get to heaven and you trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and God looks at you, he says, well, hey, what about that guilt? What about that sin? What about that sin? What about that sin, right? No, because what? There is therefore now no condemnation, no guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, because you memorize it? Does that mean you live it? Does that mean that there's no more guilt in your life? You don't wake up some mornings and feel guilty anymore? No, you've got it memorized. You know it's true, but you're not living it. Just because it's here doesn't mean it's here. Amen? You got to live it. You got to trust those promises. You have to apply those promises. So you're not okay just because you think you have it recorded in your memory. You need to live it out day after day after day. It's got to be buried in your mind. It's got to be meditated on. You have to dwell on these important truths. And so number four, pastors must be diligent to go over the same gospel truths again and again and again. Because there's too many false teachers out there in the world who are going to say, no, you can't trust the gospel that's recorded in here. You know, the gospel that says that Jesus Christ is God, we covered that already this morning in our little quiz. You can't trust that fact. He is not God, they'll say. So, no, you can't trust in that. You got to trust in your works to get to heaven. God's going to look at your works. And you got to try and do better and do harder. You can't just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. No. There's all kinds of false teachers out there. And so pastors need to go over and over and over again the truths, the simple truths of the gospel message. Think about how many times the gospel, the Bible, repeats itself. How many times are the Ten Commandments repeated in the Bible? How many times? As a list. How many times is a list? Who said twice? Twice. Where's the first one? Exodus chapter 20, right? Second one is in the book of Deuteronomy. Why did it have to be repeated? In fact, what does the word Deuteronomy mean? Deuteronomy in Greek, deuteros, Greek, means two. It's number two. And nomos in Greek is the word for law. So Deuteronomy is second law. It's the law repeated a second time. There's no more additions. It just has to be repeated because we need repetition. And Moses knew that. You need to hear it again and again and again. So, Ten Commandments, Exodus, twice given, Deuteronomy. What else? Well, the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, the book of 1 and 2 Kings are repeated. Where in the Bible are they repeated? Again, for reminders. Matt's got his hand back. Where is it repeated, Matt? In the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles, the entire history is repeated again, so you don't forget. What about the New Testament? The book of Romans. Wow, powerful book. All about salvation by faith and faith alone. It's not by works. Perfect, perfect theology for all of us to memorize. Where is it repeated in the Bible? Is it repeated somewhere else? Indeed it is in the book of Galatians, right? The book of Galatians. Because Judaizers got into the churches of Galatia. They began preaching, no, you got to have works to get to heaven. You have to be circumcised to get to heaven and all that. And so Paul said, no, I taught the Romans this and I'm going to teach you the same thing. It's repeated again and again. Many Bible books repeated again. Ephesians and Colossians, twin books. They repeat the same concepts over and over again. Repetition, repetition, repetition. So you'll notice in my sermons many, many times, from Sunday to Sunday, the truths of the gospel preached again and again and again, right? Jesus Christ is God. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected so that we would have our penalty of our sins paid for in full and by trusting in him and him alone, not our works, not a baptism, not our church membership, none of that, but only in him will we get to heaven. That's the gospel message. By surrendering to him as Lord of our lives is how we get to heaven. Okay? You say, Pastor, I've heard it again. I've heard it before. I've heard this. I'm getting bored with this. I want something new. And I will say, I know, but you need to hear it again and again and again. And because you remember hearing it before, I've proven that I'm successful in preaching it again and again because you heard it before. So that's good news. Repetition, proven methodology for learning. And we want it to be life-changing through repetition. So, If you've heard it 1,000 times before that Jesus died for your sins, paid the penalty in full, that by trusting in his death and his resurrection alone, you'll be saved by calling upon him in repentance, turning your life away from your sin, surrendering to his lordship, why do we hear it again and again? Because you'll hear false teachers. You will hear false teachers tell you that faith is not enough. They'll tell you that belonging to their group is necessary to get to heaven. I don't often criticize other groups, but sometimes you just need to hear it. It has to be said. Truth is truth. And falsehood is falsehood. And as much as I love my brothers and sisters who attend the Catholic Church down the street, I deplore the Catholic Church doctrine that says only Catholics are going to heaven. And you have to be a member of their church in good standing, and you haven't committed any mortal sins, and you have enough grace stored up in your account with God, and you have to say so many times the Hail Marys. That is false. False. But if I'm going to pick on the Catholics, I better pick on the evangelicals too. It's not just the Catholic Church that will lead people astray. We've got demanding, domineering, and controlling pastors in evangelical churches who will insist that unless you're part of their church, their group, that you're not going to make it to heaven unless you abstain from the dirty ten, whatever that dirty ten is. Thou shalt not smoke. Thou shalt not go dancing. Thou shalt not drink. Thou shalt not go to R-rated movies or any movies. That's how I grew up, and many of you did too. That's just nonsense. That's just false. That's heresy, heresy, heresy. No, it's the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. Amen? And number five, faithful pastors know that time is short. But Peter says, he says, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, this tent of mine, literally calls it a tent, as does Paul, kind of a temporary lodging. That's what our soul is in. It's in a temporary lodging. I think it right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my tent will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 21, verses 18 to 19, when Jesus did exactly that. Told Peter when he would die, or how he would die. And so in John, chapter 21, verses 18 to 19, we see Jesus after the resurrection, and of course Peter had denied Christ three times, and this is part of Peter's restoration process, being reconciled to the Lord and given his mission assignment. Truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you get old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. So Jesus told Peter that he was going to die by crucifixion. Crucifixion. And according to tradition, Peter asked not to be crucified in the same way as the Lord, but he would rather be crucified upside down. And according to tradition, that occurred. That occurred. And so when Peter wrote this book to the churches that he was writing to, it was obviously in his elder years, probably in his 60s now, and Nero was in control of the Roman government, and Nero was persecuting Christians and lighting them up like torches in the city street, and knew that his time was soon. That as one of the leaders of the church, one of the main apostles, there would be no way for him to escape that persecution. And so with that insight and with the prophecy that Jesus had given to Jesus, to Peter, Peter knew, my time now is short. And so therefore, I don't have many days left. I've got to get these things passed over to you because I won't be here any longer. And number six, faithful pastors will do everything they can to help their flocks remember the truth, even after they are gone. That's why Peter said, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. That's why the book was preserved, so that you and I can remember what Peter told those churches and tells us today. The book is in your hands. The book is available for you. Well, that's what the apostles did, and they left their messages. Paul did with many of the books in the New Testament. Peter left us this book, 1 and 2 Peter. Also, he left us the Gospel of Mark, because Mark was Peter's assistant, and so basically Mark was writing down all the notes from Peter, and so really it might be called the Gospel of Peter, if you want to look at it that way. So that's how Peter left his people, with the truths that he was reminding them from day to day. But now, how do pastors do it? How do pastors do it today? Boy, I had to think about this for a while, because I'm not going to leave a book like this book. It won't have any authority like this book, and my sermons will probably get lost somewhere along the way, and so they won't be available to you, or maybe they'll be scrubbed from the internet or from wherever, and so they won't be available to you, and it might be outlawed. Who knows? That's a possibility as well. So anything biblical or anything spiritual, as I said earlier, may be outlawed and erased. And so that won't be, I can't pass it down that way. So how am I going to pass down anything from me to you if I'm to be taken to the Lord now or taken away from you in other means? How can I do that? Like Peter said, how can I make every effort so that after my departure, whatever that departure is, you may be able to recall these things? Well, here's how I think it happens. Pastors like me, and I don't put myself in a category any higher than anybody else. No. But pastors who are passionate, that's the key, passionate about their love for Jesus and their love for the Bible and the Bible's correct interpretation, and there's thousands and thousands of us out there, pastors who are passionate about their people and about the Bible, that passion will be remembered. It'll be remembered. It'll be moving. Because remember, my pastor was passionate about these things. He's not here now, but he loved these things. And if he loved these things, I will recall what he said as best as I can. But I know he loved this. And to the best of my memory, I will bring to mind the things that he said. And so it's the passion that is passed on. Just like Peter's passion was passed on. And so you may not remember everything I said in my sermons. In fact, you probably remember very little from my sermons. Very little. But you will remember far more of what I say if you believe that I'm sincere in my belief and sincere in my commitment to seeing this flock make it all the way to heaven. I want to move that one more step. So pastors need to do that, but parents need to do that. How can parents pass on to their children if they're separated or if they're taken away or if they're gone? How can they do that? Same rule. By being sincere, by being passionate, by loving Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, because much more is caught than taught. Okay? Simple. Simple philosophy. You want your children to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, then live it out. Live it out. Let them see you on your knees at night. Let them see you praying for them earnestly and passionately. Let them hear those prayers being anointed over their beds as they go to sleep at night. They need to know this Jesus that you call Lord is really your Lord. I know of no other way to guarantee our children enduring in the faith than by living it out in front of them day after day. Jim, come and lead us in prayer, would you? Congregation, please stand. You've heard these truths. Now, with me, apply them to your life. Jim, come.